This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. The Aspen Institute has created a new network of leading organizations using two-generation approaches to disrupt poverty and create economic mobility for families. It's called the Ascend Project, and the United Way of Greater Cincinnati has been named a member. In just a moment, we'll talk about what work they'll be doing, and then later in the hour, we'll hear from the author of Reporting Under Fire, 16 Darling Women War Correspondents and Photojournalists by Carrie Logan Houlihan. But first, here to talk about working against poverty, our chair of the Greater Cincinnati STEM Collaborative, Kathy Maynard, executive director of Partners for a Competitive Workforce, Janice Urbanik, and director of workforce development at Brighton Center, Melissa Hall Summer. You can join the conversation by calling us 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Certainly happy to have you all here today to share a little bit about what this project's all about. Who can be the first one? Who best can explain what the Ascend Project is? Janice?
Sure. The Ascend Project is an initiative of the Aspen Institute, which is focused on providing two-generation solutions to break the cycle of poverty. In fact, one of the things that they talk about is making economic security a family tradition. Where the child and the parent pursue economic stability together simultaneously. And it's really a new approach to work with both the children and the training and the education that the child needs to grow into a good adult, along with providing good job training and work supports for the parents so that they can get a good job and provide for their families.
How is this different from what ordinarily happens when you're trying to work with people to get them out of poverty? Melissa?
When you look at how families work together and how families who are living in poverty work, really what really motivates parents is their children. When we ask folks about what they want, a lot of times they've reached a level of hopelessness for themselves. And when you say something about their children, that's what they're looking for, a better life for their children. What I want is for my children to have some mobility. And we know that the best indicator of economic mobility for children in the future is educational attainment for their parents. And so you start at that point of working with the parent and showing how it links to their children, and soon hope comes back to them.
Janice?
Sure.
Or not Janice, I'm sorry, Kathy.
That's okay. For me, what also is different about the Ascend Network is the anchors that this work is based on. So it's not only really focusing specifically on economic opportunity and development and education, but it's adding in a real focus on social capital and building in social support networks within the community, within the workforce, to be able to make those connections and know that it takes support for us to change kind of poverty and the situation that lots of people are in. The other is also a focus on health and well-being. And so if you actually kind of look at what the Ascend Network kind of really focuses on, it's really the confluence of all four of those.
How does it get started? Where do you pick the people you want to work with, and how do you get started?
Well, the way that we started here in Cincinnati through the United Way, there was an effort going on in Northern Kentucky through Gateway Community and Technical College called Raise the Floor, which was intended to get more women into manufacturing. Manufacturing represents good-paying jobs, and there's a lot of openings in our region. Just in Northern Kentucky alone, there's over 700 jobs open right now. That's projected to go to over 6,000 in about 8 years. But the percentage of women in manufacturing right now is only 7 to 10%. When you think about the opportunity for manufacturing careers to help provide a good paying career for these women, we needed to get more women in. At the same time, through the STEM Collaborative, we have a lot of efforts to get children involved in STEM-related activities so that they understand about the potential of those careers. So we're viewing the two-generation approach as a way to serve both of those, to help the mom get into manufacturing and to get a good career, and at the same time provide career and educational opportunities for their child so that they can start off on a good path once they graduate from school and get into a good STEM career.
What kind of training is needed for women to learn these manufacturing skills that they'll need? I'm assuming they're not all trained on the job. You have to go in with some skill?
Yes. For one thing, just being aware that manufacturing is a good career and that it's not dirty, dark, and dangerous and dead-end, which is the common stereotype. Just knowing that these jobs exist and that they're good jobs and they're good-paying jobs is the first thing. Then there's an entry-level certification that a woman can get or that anybody can get. So it takes about 8 weeks to get. And then from there, many employers will hire them with that certification. If they choose to go on, there are many educational opportunities at community colleges and elsewhere that they can get additional education, as well as many employers will provide apprenticeship programs and tuition reimbursement for people that want to continue and advance in their career.
And we've heard from many children and parents saying, young kids will say things like, well, I don't know why I need math. I don't know why I need science. I'm never going to use this. And then you see these parents and children coming together, and the parents are using some of these skills, and they're studying, in some cases, the same content. And they can see, wow, my mom needs this as she's moving into a new career. I'm going to need this. And how do we work together? And I've heard parents say there was nothing more empowering than to sit there and do homework or talk about things with their kids and be able to talk about the struggles they were having. And also knowing that the children understand the link and understand how important it is now, because maybe mom didn't get that in the past and now she wants more. So get it now. And it really just proves how to move forward.
And we often know that in education, there's this divide between what we learn in a classroom and how it applies to the real world, what we can do with it when we, quote, grow up. And so part of the collaborative's work has really been focused on creating these authentic experiences in STEM education and careers for students. So we even have some training to do with our schools and our teachers. But we know that we have to connect all of the dots, and that includes, you know, not only the school, not only the student, but most certainly the parents, so that we really can change the system.
As you're working on all of this and you're trying to gather this all together, how long has it been so far that you've been a part of this? Is it just getting started?
The work with the Ascend Network is just starting.
But you've done some of this two-poverty work or two-generation poverty work previously, or is this really all new?
Well, I think what we know is that working across generation and bundling services is what really works forward. And I think the Annie Casey Foundation has done work in showing that bundling of services such as work support, financial education, and employment is the answer. And taking that and looking at early childhood, looking at the outcomes for kids in elementary school level isn't something that we know is best practice. But this opportunity to really look at workforce, some of the non-traditional careers, and really target this to see what interventions are going to actually move the needle and change many times people's lives and their way of connecting to work and how work really changes how their kids think about things. Their work changing how their kids think about school, what they're involved in, how they're moving forward.
We're talking about the Ascend Project. It's part of the United Way of Greater Cincinnati is now participating in it. If you have a question or a comment, our phone number, 513-419-7100. My guest, Chair of the Greater Cincinnati STEM Collaborative, Kathy Maynard, Executive Director of Partners for a Competitive Workforce, Janice Urbanik, and Director of Workforce Development at Brighton Center, Melissa Hall-Summer. Again, our number is 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Janice, you were talking about the manufacturing jobs and how they're not dark and dirty jobs. What kind of jobs are available for these women in manufacturing now? What kind of work would they be doing?
There's a wide variety of jobs available. Many of the positions require a multitude of skills. While you can get started as an entry-level machinist, so working on a piece of equipment that machines a piece of metal and turns it into a component, it also requires a lot of systems thinking and thinking about the materials that are coming in, the next step that will be done to that piece of equipment. And that's one thing that women really excel at, is thinking very holistically and very systemically. So machining operations is a big need. Welding is a big need. But then also some of the higher level positions for anyone who wants to aspire to engineering or into software engineering, because most of these pieces of equipment that are being used are computer controlled. And so thinking about how do you program the pieces of equipment that are then making the part. And then also team assembly is another key area where you will take components that have been made in a number of different places across the shop floor and then assembling it into a final product. And then also in our area, there's food manufacturing is also very, very big, pharmaceutical manufacturing. So depending upon what type of manufacturing you like to do, or if there's an end product that you particularly are excited about, that would be another one. Our region also just got awarded a designation as an aerospace corridor from the Department of Labor, and that's because of the high number of aerospace-related companies, GE obviously being a large one, but also all of the sub-suppliers to GE and to the aerospace industry. So lots of manufacturing related to aviation and aerospace.
Are you both finding that women are interested in this manufacturing idea as you bring it up?
I think they're apprehensive at first. They think about their dad's job, or they think about what manufacturing used to look like. And so creating a new picture for them and really making those connections. So a lot of the programs like Raise the Floor, like our Construction and Manufacturing Technologies program at the Center for Employment Training, take the opportunity to get people out and get the folks out and get these women into some of these new environments so they can see this is a new place. It's a different place. And it's a place where there's a future. And a lot of jobs, it's hard to see that. But there's some very visible ways that employees can move up. They have a lot of the companies have nice tuition reimbursement programs. So they can start by getting a credential and then stack those credentials and then stack to a degree. So something that seems overwhelming, like getting a bachelor's degree in engineering to someone who has to work now or has to work in the next 6 months, doesn't seem like something they can do. But when you think about if you get this credential, you start work in 2 months, you start work next month. And then there's an opportunity to get the next credential. And the employers are supportive of this. And then there's opportunities to look at tuition reimbursement through degree programs. And there is a pathway. There's a visible pathway for these women where they can have this opportunity to say, this can change my life. And the income is such that we're looking at the opportunity to be self-sufficient, which is very hard to find when you're looking at starting with sometimes with a high school degree or not a high school degree and looking at your GED first. So it is a wonderful pathway that's laid out.
And the reality is, you know, for all of us, we don't know what we don't know. And the unknown is often very scary. And so a part of this work really is giving mothers and their children the experiences that it's accessible, that it's possible, that it's even desirable, and then building those skill base, building the kinds of supports so that they can be successful. And so it really is dealing with and helping support the system and creating places where women and their children can be successful.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Sue's calling from Marymount. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I think your two-generation approach is critical. I think that when people talk about child labor being a bad thing, I think that they don't know how empowering that is for a kid to be actually contributing to the family's welfare. I grew up on a farm, and it was always very clear to me that my labors there contributed to my family's financial health.
I think that the approach here is a little bit different. And Janice, maybe you can jump in there. It's not so much trying to get the kids to work as giving them the opportunity to learn and learn with the parent. Is
right,
that correct?
Exactly. It's helping the parent get the skills they need to get that job right now, just as Melissa said. But at the same time, exposing the child through their school or out of school activities around what all the various jobs are, particularly in the STEM fields, so that they see what a future job for them could be, so that they get excited about it and they understand why they have to pay attention in math class, because they ultimately want to get that job. But we're not talking about putting the children to work right now.
I understand that. But I'm also saying that you are giving these kids a better paycheck for mom, but there's some really critical years, you know, between the time you're 13 and you go to college, where these kids that are in the STEM high schools or in the STEM programs will be more competitive in the part-time and summertime workplace and take a lot of load off of the mom's back for a while. And that's huge.
Well, Sue, thank you so much. We appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
Our number is 513-419-7100. You look like you wanted to add something there, Kathy.
Yeah, I think that it's not only taking the load off, but it's actually being supportive. So if we instead of starting to viewing children as a barrier, oh, I can't take that job because I have to do childcare. Oh, I can't take that job. What it really does is it actually has the family support system to where, you know, the child and the parent, they're really working together as a unit. And the child can be supportive because they understand what mom is doing. And so it really is a part of that social support system.
When we're talking about children, what ages are we talking about? I mean, is it everywhere from 5 to 16 or?
Actually, I think it starts preschool. And we have preschool programs that are really looking at preparing kids for kindergarten, which means preparing them with pre-literacy and pre-math concepts. And a lot of the work that's been done in our region around early childhood certainly reinforces this pathway. And so having the opportunity to make those connections early, when you see mom and you're a preschooler and you see mom working and you see mom doing homework and you see mom really looking at things, then mom feels more empowered to say, I can help you with these basic concepts, and as you move through your experience, I feel empowered to help you all the way through in these areas that sometimes parents feel are foreign to them, the math, the science. You know, they get a little intimidated themselves on how do I help support my child through this, and therefore, it's hard for the kids to make the connection on, well, if my mom and dad aren't getting it, how is this? And that's not that they have to completely understand it, but feel comfortable enough to say, I don't get this, but let's read this together. Let's take this journey together. And I think that starts from preschool level all the way through.
Absolutely. A lot of our work with the STEM Collaborative really is, it's almost the earlier the better. And for us, it's about early and extended exposure. So I make jokes that I have dreams and I have lots of them. And one of those is really that every student every year has multiple and extended exposure to STEM education and careers, and that they see the why does this matter?
Are you working directly with the schools on this as well then? Where else are you doing your work?
So we work, I really would describe the work as cross-sector work. If you take a look at who's at the table, it's formal schools, K-12. We work with districts across the tri-state. The higher education, not only the University of Cincinnati, but NKU and Gateway, and you know every university in the region, informal providers like the zoos and the museum centers, business and industry at the table. So it really is a multiple of people, the community agencies like United Way and Partners for a Competitive Workforce, Brighton Center, my colleagues here, all working together to really push and create collective impact.
Janice, anything you want to add to that?
Kathy's absolutely right. You know, to use the phrase of it takes a village, it truly does. Because to really serve the needs of both the parent and the child, there are so many different players that have the resources and have the best practices. And when we're able to bring them all together and leverage the strengths of each individual partner, that's when we truly make systemic change.
513-419-7100 is our number if you have a question or a comment, or as we're talking about the ASCEND project today, or ASCEND program. It's an effort to work over multi-generational lines to work people out of poverty or find ways to work them out of poverty. Melissa, talk a little bit about the people that you're with, and as they're going through this, what kind of changes you've been able to see made, or is it too early to tell?
We've been operating our Center for Employment Training for about 17 years, and we recently, in the past 3 or 4 years, have moved into the construction manufacturing technologies area, looking at both how that program can move forward both women and men, and also making that transition for those out-of-school youth that are sometimes forgotten about. So as we've worked, I think that the learning mechanism as we move into this next level, and I would say this next level working with ASCEND is that depth of work, that really looking at what interventions really move things forward instead of looking more broadly, so that we can focus all efforts regionally, no matter who's providing the services, on some of those focused interventions. So what we found is that women do have a harder time kind of getting connected with programs, and that connection with their children is truly that motivator. And I said it before, and I don't want to repeat too often, but the dreams and hopes that parents have for their children is the reason they move forward. And so really emphasizing, what do you want for your kids and what do you want to be different for them, makes them feel like they can have hope for themselves. And I said that previously, but the importance and the ability to help folks take that journey of, if I make things better for me, that helps my kids, because it's not just about me, it's about we. And that's how our customers see it. That's how our customers move forward. That's how our trainees actually embrace the work. And it's also learning to work with other folks that are different than you. So we really look at that whole diversity piece and making sure that when you're in the workforce, what does that look like? But I believe those elements with the work supports, and that includes quality early childhood education, and quality education at the elementary, middle school, high school ages.
We had a question from Susan who called in, and we all are used to our jargon. She wanted us to explain STEM. So could somebody explain what STEM is?
Absolutely. So STEM, that's really a good question, Susan. Thank you. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. Those are the four disciplines that really a lot of the jobs now and 15, 20 years in the future, that you need to have education in those disciplines and skills within those disciplines in order to not only be able to get the jobs that are coming and are here now, but also to have the skill set to do whatever job you want. And so we talk about kids especially being STEM enabled. You know, we don't want everyone to be an engineer, but we do want everyone to have the choice. We do want everyone to have the skills, the problem solving, the critical thinking, that resilience, that they can actually participate in the world and they can participate in whatever it is they want to do. So most certainly there's a lot of focus these days across the nation and really across the globe on STEM education and careers, science, technology, engineering, and math.
If there's one thing I could build on Melissa's point, the Women's Fund of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation did some research about a year ago, and what they found is that 66% of the children in our region who are in poverty are in households that are headed by a single woman. So when we think about helping children out of poverty, what we really need to be thinking about is, how do we help their mom? And this two-generation approach is going to be key to that. And really amplifying this will be the work with the Ascend Network, but also the United Way is also going to be funding some additional research and additional projects looking at two-generation. And it truly is, how do we help that mother? I think there was some other research done that showed that even just a $3,000 a year increase in family income makes a dramatic improvement in the outcomes for the child. So thinking about, how can we get these moms into a job that pays better than what they're currently in right now will have a direct effect on moving them out of poverty and helping their kids have better outcomes.
Now, I understand why you're talking about moms so much, because as you said, that's where the poverty lies. Do you work with dads at all?
We do.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of single dads out there. I mean, we try to make that happen. But what we know is, to reinforce the other statistics, is in the 70s, one-third of households were sole breadwinners were moms. And now we're at 50%, over 50%. So, you know, that is startling. And we work with dads, and we work with a lot of single dads who are now taking sole responsibility for the raising of their kids. And we reinforce that, and we have some mentoring programs for dads and that help them link with other dads and how do you support, and because it's not real natural for that networking to happen at with dads the way sometimes it happens with moms.
If somebody wanted to get involved in the program and they think, gosh, this might be for me, how do they do that?
Through Gateway Technical and Community College, and through the Workforce Investment Board in Northern Kentucky. There's ways that they can get enrolled in the classes that are starting right now, and they can learn more about that by contacting the folks at Gateway.
And I think we have links to a lot of the information on our website as well. That's WVXU.org. Thank you so much for being here today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking this afternoon about the history of the Ascend Project and what it is with Chair of the Greater Cincinnati STEM Collaborative, Kathy Maynard, Executive Director of Partners for a Competitive Workforce, Janice Urbanek, and Director of Workforce Development at Brighton Center, Melissa Hall-Summer.